chapter 12. Praise the Lord. He loves the Lord this morning. Aren't you glad to have a church you can go to that's going to tell you the truth, that's going to give you liberty to worship the Lord? Amen. I am. It's getting to be a rare thing to find. It's not a hard thing to preach the truth. It ain't hard at all. It ain't hard to teach the truth and believe the truth. You know it ain't hard. Right here it is. Right here. As long as it's in this book right here, then you're in good shape, aren't you? I mean, it's the truth will set you free. And it's not just the truth about, you know, controversial things, but it's the truth about being saved, being redeemed by the blood, having power with God, favor with God, having the Holy Ghost in your life, having somebody to call on. It's true that there is a heaven to gain. Amen? Is that right? It's true that God answers prayer. It's true. And brother, that's a liberating thing, Brother Zane, to know some things. Amen. I'm going to go to the 12th chapter. We closed out the 11th chapter of Matthew about Sunday morning on "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And how many remembers what the preacher followed up Sunday night with? Huh? I believe God was trying to tell us something, don't you? And so I want you to look at that, and then I'm going to go to the 12th chapter. I want you to keep in mind that our last lesson was about entering to his rest, taking his yoke upon you. A lot of people think if there's a yoke involved, it can't be good, but it is good. You're going to be yoked to something. That's just the way it is. There's no neutral ground. You're going to be either bound to God and righteousness and his good word, or you're going to be bound to the carnality and the flesh and the devil and the world, and there's no middle ground. But we talk about this rest. Now, this 12th chapter goes in, and there's a great, great, great lesson in 12th chapter in this first few verses. And I love it. I just love the way the Bible tells us. It's good to have everybody, visitors today. Let me think now. Don't tell me. I kid with Michael. I forgot his name in one important time. On his wedding day, when I went to introduce the husband and wife, I could remember Amanda real well, but his name, and boy, I tell you what helped me, brothers, when I looked around and saw your dad, and he was there helping me, and in my mind, oh yeah, Alexander, yeah, I remember you. It was just a little bleep on the screen. I love you. Good to have Tommy here today, and his brought looks like two children, and we're glad they're here. Glad he come and prayed Sunday night, looking for God to really help him and help you too. All right. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. Now, the significance of the Sabbath day is that it was a day of rest. Amen. That word that Sabbath comes from means a day of rest. A rest of, God ordained the Sabbath, not the Sabbath, man for the Sabbath, Jesus taught, but the Sabbath for man. He gave man a day to just be able to rest and worship and, of course, every day was a day of worship, really, but that one particular day, and it was really created for man's benefit. Now, how many knows that God knows more than we know about it? And, you know, now the workforce, and I'm not going to talk on the Sabbath day today, there's a great lesson in here, but when I was a young boy, people didn't hardly work on Sunday doing anything. And, you know, because of this, the Bible. You know, what they called the laws, they had blue laws. Is that what they called them? I don't know what that meant exactly, blue, why they called them blue laws. But they were laws that you couldn't operate on Sunday. And And really, I think God, honored that in that essence, because, you know, it God created the Sabbath day for man's benefit. So we need to have enough sense to know that if God thought we needed a day of rest, that he was right about it. Talking about nervous breakdowns, I'm telling you, when people push their health beyond, you know, the realm of reason, they crash, don't they? I appreciate you saying yes and amen every now and then. It's quiet in here, ain't it? Huh? Just keep it up. Don't quit me now. Huh? Now, but I want what is taught in this lesson today, which I may take a Sunday sometime and teach on the Sabbath, but there were laws about the Sabbath in the Old Testament, you know, that really we don't follow today. I mean, you know, about the Sabbath law. If we did, well, I couldn't have come here today. You could only take a day's journey. As far as so many miles from home on the Sabbath day, and this was probably too far. I'd have to have church over there close to the house somewhere. You know, so, some of the things that we, you know, it's not practical for us today, and they aren't even required as far as the Mosaic law. We're not under that law, per se. But the Sabbath in Jesus' day was considered, you know, the Pharisees had made it stricter even than the Bible did. And, you know, the law said that a man could go through his neighbor's field, and if he was hungry, then he could eat out of his neighbor's field. How many thinks that's a pretty good rule? I don't think so. Well, I thought it was good. Don't you think we might need a little bit better attitude of sharing and helping folks that are in need? Well, oh boy, time's almost over. So everybody say praise the Lord to that. And Jesus went the Sabbath day through the corn. Now, I want you to notice this. He was walking through a cornfield. Now, a lot of times they planted right up to the roads, you know. I mean, you wonder why he was out in a cornfield. Well, the trail, the path, probably led through the cornfield. And so him and his disciples were going along, and the Lord, now the Lord was not a sorry man. He was not a slacker and a deadbeat. He was a worker. and carpentry work has always been hard work. I've never, even today, you know, I've done some of it, and it's there's nothing easy about carpenter work. But he did it back before Black and Decker, you know, and he was a hard-working man. But he had started out on his ministry, and he was teaching his disciples to depend upon God for their, you know. He did, at one point, he said it wasn't even a place to lay his head. I mean, now we know earlier in the scriptures he did have a place, because you remember the two disciples of John followed him home one day? How many remembers that? So we know at one time he did have a house, and he did have a bed and a place to lay, but when he started on his ministry, he broke away from that, and he just started traveling like an itinerary preacher, just like, kind of like Sheffy did in the Methodist day, just circuit rider. So he just took off through the countryside, and he just, I mean, his cathedral was would have been right up on the side of the sea somewhere. He'd get in a little boat and go out a little ways and preach the everlasting gospel. And now if you get out and preach on the street, they just roll their windows up and keep on driving, don't they? Huh? And the Lord, going through the field on the Sabbath day, and the Bible said, and his disciples were hungry. And they began to pluck ears of corn and to eat. And you say, well, you know, and I've already told you that was lawful to do that. But what got these Pharisees so upset, how many knows what made them so mad? Of course, they were, you know, had the devil in them too. But how many knows what they criticized the Lord over? It was the Sabbath day. And so they took this act of plucking corn off of the, they took that as reaping a harvest. They're working on the Sabbath day. And so they were, of course, wanting to find fault with Jesus anyway. And so they said his disciples were hungry, and he began to pluck. And when the Pharisees saw it, And, you know, I've often wondered, I've preached along these lines before because this scripture so intrigues me. These Pharisees saw it. Now, how did that happen? I don't know if they were just snooping around. You ever see anybody snoop around? I mean, even in church sometimes. Oh, we better watch it here, haven't we? You know, I know, Mom, this ain't no reflection on you, but sometimes you call it granny necking. Huh? Well, now, it's nothing personal, but I mean, you know, and now when I was a kid, you know, I could do pretty good unless I felt like somebody was staring at me, Sister Connie, and then it just bumbled me up. I couldn't, and at school, if a teacher ever started looking at me, I mean, I don't care if I knew the answer to it. If she went to breathing down my collar, I couldn't spell my name. You know, but here Jesus is out here walking, and these Pharisees peeping through the corn. You know, how many knows that that's kind of an odd way to live your life, always scrutinizing and nitpicking, huh? Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the spirit here that's in this. And in this scripture, they began to complain because he ate corn on the Sabbath. And I said I'm going to probably deal with the Sabbath, and it's a good lesson on the Sabbath itself, but that's not my message this morning. But I want you to see what Christ, when they criticized him for eating corn on the Sabbath day. Now, here is the lesson that is so vital. The Lord was a lot more interested on those disciples being fed than he was keeping the traditions of the Pharisees. See, this law that they had tightened up so much, they had took the Mosaic civil laws and they had tightened them so tight. And sometimes you think people tighten things up so tight because they're so holy, when really the opposite is true. They tighten it up so much because of the pride in their own heart. They want to make it so narrow that only them makes it. Now, brother, I'm afraid to say, I hate to tell you this, but we're not the only ones going to make it. And I'm glad of that. How many are glad of that? Now, there's sometimes we come out here and look at the church, and I have to tell you as a pastor, and I know y'all do the same thing back here looking at the pastor. I think, Lord have mercy, am I doing any good at all? You know, you know, but I know God gave us the Bible for the perfecting of the saints. Amen? And so I know we got room to improve. I do have room to improve. But these Pharisees had made things so tight. Now help me, church, just a minute. I'll be done here in just a few minutes. But he made it so tight. Now, I love the Son of God. How many knows that if you have to take the word of a Pharisee or Jesus, that Jesus' word prevail? And so here is Christ, and I love to watch him, Brother Bill, to see how he's going to handle this. And so when they began to criticize him because his disciples, and they were honestly hungry, they pulled corn, broke their traditional laws, broke the law that the Pharisees had set, and then they began to criticize Jesus. And so he said to them, amen, have you not heard? Verse 3, have you not heard, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they that were with him? Now, if you've got a Bible has a margin writing there, you'll see that's referring to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And when Saul got after David and was going to kill him, and Jonathan had warned him not to come back home, Saul had bad plans for him. Well, David went to running away from Saul. And when he did, I'm going to tell you, sometimes life doesn't fit our little form we've got all made up. Hey, sometimes you can think, well, I would never do this, or I would never do that in a sense, or this is the way I think. And then life turns everything upside down, and you realize, oh, I'm going to have to reevaluate everything. How many's ever been there where you reevaluated everything? So David was on the run, and the Bible said, if you want to turn to 1 Samuel 21, you can read that today sometime. But he brought this back to these Pharisees. Now, When I mention this lesson to you, do you feel like the Lord is justifying what these disciples did? Yes. Yes, he is. And he's doing it. Of course, they were all sons of David. They loved David. David was the king of all kings for them. So he pointed them back, Brother Zane, to something David did. He said, you're criticizing me for feeding my disciples. Amen. You know, I don't think we ought to ever lose focus on human beings and their needs. Is that what church is all about? Amen. I said, is that what church is all about? Amen. When we come to church, we don't need to be so in love with our traditions and our rules that we go right over top of some poor hungry soul that needs fed. How many knows I'm telling you right? That's the most important thing. And so these people, David, when he got to running, some men joined him. And so they were running. They didn't have no food. They were hungry. He left the men. And you know where David went? He went straight to the house of God. Now, David loved the house of God, and he knew he was friends with Samuel, you know, was his great mentor, and he loved the house of the Lord. He was friends with the priests that were in the house of the Lord. David wasn't a priest. He was of the royal lineage. And so, but David ran right into the house of God, Brother Tommy, because he knew that there was a potential for him to find something to eat in the house of God. Now, I wondered this morning, and I'm going to talk to you just a few minutes, and I'll be done. But I wonder, amen, I feel the same way about that today, about the house of God. Amen. Now, I know there's people fall out, you know, with the church in different ways, and we are humans, and we're not perfect. You say, but brother, I thought you preached holiness. I do preach holiness, but we don't always say the right thing. Somebody say amen. I remember, now help me now, I want to preach to you a little bit here. I remember a while back, I felt like in my mind, I don't want to say nothing that'll hurt people. Just purposely. And so I try to make that all my life I have tried since I've been a Christian is to not make things difficult in a situation where I could do better. And I thought I was doing really good. And a fella came up to me and I was talking to him and this fella said, you know, you really hurt my feelings one day. And here I was thinking, I'm trying my best not to hurt nobody's feelings, you know, and here I thought I was doing great. Well, I had to go home that day saying, well, I missed that one. Because I'd said something and just kidding, you know, that the fellow took the way. And he just told me, boy, you crushed me. You really hurt me. Well, of course, I said, well, boy, I didn't mean that like that. I'm sorry about that. But here I was thinking I was trying to work on this and trying to work on it and do good and just messed up the whole. Y'all, how many knows that the Bible said we are of all like Elijah was men of like passion. How many knows what it means when it said he was of like passion, like us? You know what he said about Elijah? How many knows in the book of James it said, and Elijah was a man of like passion. That means he's human just like us. Hear me now. And so the Lord, and here's the point the Lord was making. I will give you 5 more minutes of this. But here's the point the Lord was making. These men being hungry takes priority over your traditions. You see, if these men don't get something to eat, they're going to die. They're going to perish. Huh? Spiritually speaking, too. So when David was riding away from Saul, and David, you know, he had to be confused. He had been anointed to be king over Israel, and now here he is running for a cave. But you know, he said, hey, my men need something to eat. I don't even have a proper weapon to fight with. But he said, I'm going to go to the house of God. And he ran into the house of God, and the priest, was it Ahimelech? And he went into the priest, and he said, do you have any bread here? Now, I don't know how this reflects, Brother Mike, but really they should have been bread there anyway. Because when people pay their tithes, they paid and stuff. Evidently, people weren't doing too good on their tithing, Brother Zane, because the only bread they had around was the holy bread that they offered it for sacrifice every day. And you know, the law, the Levitical law said that only the priest can eat of the bread that has been sanctified, holy. And so when they came in, they didn't have anything to give. Hey, that's come on now, ain't that right? Didn't have anything to give. There wasn't anything laying around where somebody had paid their tithes of corn or wheat or grain or fruit. There wasn't any of that around, evidently. And he said, all we have here, amen, is the holy bread. David knew, and those priests surely knew, that it was unlawful for him to have that bread. But you know what the priest did? How many remembers what the priest did? He gave David the bread that was meant only for the priest. And he took that bread and fed. And then he said, do you have a weapon here? Well, what in the world would the priest be doing with a weapon? But they did have a weapon. For some reason or another, they had took Goliath's sword and had left it there by the altar somewhere. And so he left out of there with bread in his arms and Goliath's sword in his hand. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, and the Lord did not rebuke David over that. The Lord did not condemn David. Actually, he complimented what David did, and he justified what his disciples just had done. Amen. Because there was a difference of laws here. There was the law of survival. These men have got to have bread. They've got to have a weapon. They've got to survive. Hey, there's no way that we can just take how we think and traditionally in our minds have always believed and just trod over top of men and women who are hungry and needing something, amen, to suffice them spiritually. How many understands what I'm talking about this morning? Can you say praise the Lord? Let me read this to you right here. And he says, he entered into the house of God and ate the shew bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? You know, the priest had to go through that daily sacrifice. He said, look, you're taking this too strong. You're taking this too strict here. You are going to allow these men that are human beings that Christ came to give his life for. You are going to see them die of hunger just so you can keep you not looking at this the way you need to look. And then he says that in this place there's one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, and here he sums it up for him, I will have mercy. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Amen. Ye would not have condemned the guiltless. If you knew this, what it means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice and would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Amen. How many loves this scripture here this morning? How many loves this? He said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Amen. God help us. Brother Barnett preached over there this week, and he talked about how, amen, that a lot of times when we look at each other and begin to measure each other up in our mind, he said, what we need to look for is the anointing. Amen. Not intellect or how we think things ought to be. He said, but you need to look for the anointing. Because if God is anointing and they have the Spirit of Christ, then evidently, amen. How many understands what I'm talking about? We need, and sometimes we grow at different speeds, amen. And we may not all conform to the image in our mind that people ought to be. But brother, we need to look for that anointing. Amen. And I know where this church does. Amen. I don't know a more forgiving church anywhere. I really don't. Than you good folks here. If somebody will come to this altar and humble themselves. And I'll also know that you'll bristle up. Amen. When people are taking advantage and are not praying through. Amen. Come on now. But brother, if somebody's praying. Amen. And their heart is touched by an humble spirit of God. Amen. Then let the Lord, amen, move upon them. Amen. Give them mercy. Amen. I'll tell you what we need to consider when we're thinking about mercy. We want to give as much mercy as we want to receive. Can you say amen? Amen. I'll tell you about forgiveness. Amen. If we want to be forgiven for our faults, we need to forgive others that have trespassed against us. And you say amen? And when it comes down, when we must make a decision, amen, between sacrifice or mercy, we ought to make a the decision on mercy every time. And you say, man, when the choice is mercy or sacrifice, we ought to go in mercy every time. That's what Christ was saying. He said, you condemn the guiltless. Amen. You didn't condemn David when he went in there and got the bread off of the holy table. Amen. Neither do you need to condemn these disciples, amen, who are eating on the Sabbath day, amen, the corn in their neighbor's field. Amen. He said, and here was the thing. He said, your problem, amen, Mr. Pharisee, is you don't know who I am, and you don't believe I'm the Son of God, and you don't know that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was not created, amen, or the man for the Sabbath, but the other way around. And the Son of God is the Lord, amen, and I'm glad he is, amen, and he come to seek and save that which is lost, and I'm glad he did, amen, and brother, I'm glad he put a spirit in me and a spirit in you that loves mercy rather than sacrifice. Christ was the holiest. There's never been another man that lived that did not sin. Christ was the only one. Only one that was sinless. Never sinned. Never. And so when I look at the Son of God, and there's no way that Christ is going to overlook your sins. He died to cover your sins with his blood. But if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll have mercy on you. Now, we need to keep this. Now, church, we need this spirit. I remember, and I'm going to close, but I remember years ago, many years ago, there was a controversy in a church. And I was asked, along with another preacher, to kind of be the peacemaker or mediator here between this church. Now, you got to really watch getting involved. And I didn't want to be involved. But I loved these people, and they were all good people. And so the other preacher that they had asked to, along with me, to kind of be a mediator with the church. I got in touch with the man, and we met somewhere, and we started toward going to travel to the church and see if we could, you know. I believe every church is sovereign in its own body. I don't believe other churches need to poke their nose in other churches' business. I don't believe that's the way God wants it. That's why I'm independent. I'm not belong to an organization, send our tithe to some city out of state. I don't believe in that. I just don't. And so I was just trying to be a help if I could and pray for him and bring peace to the situation. Well, then this other preacher was traveling and he was older than me, so we got to just trying to, before we got there, just try to discuss things so we know what approach, you know, what we were up against, you know. And so, you know, I was real young, man. So I gave my opinion. And you know, it might have been a little hard toward one side because I was getting it from the other side, Brother Charlie. You ever been there? You know, I want to tell you this right now. This is real deep. I'm getting ready. Every pancake has two sides, okay? No matter how thin, it has two sides. Well, when I said that about, you know, it looks to me like, you know, so-and-so should have been handled, and this preacher looked at me, and he said, now, brother, until we've been there. What? I didn't know that eliminated me right there. Until you've been in that situation, we don't know. And brother, it went right to my heart. I just said, zip. And that's what I've done the whole rest of the whole situation, was just smile, pray. And it worked out okay. I did want to tell you, it did not collapse. It worked out all right. But that man woke me up when he said, now don't be too. And boy, since I've been pastoring and all these years have went on, boy, I've seen that come to pass so much. People try to get involved in something they really don't know nothing about. But I'll tell you what this older preacher was telling me, Brother Zane. He was telling me, we need to have mercy here and not sacrifice. Huh? Now, I don't mean giving up. And you know I believe in holiness. And I believe anybody that does anything, amen, ought to live holiness. Anything, as an example, they ought to live clean, live what the Bible, and what's taught, really. Huh? But I tell you, I believe in giving people a little mercy, don't you? If they're passing through the field, amen, even though it is a traditional law not to eat corn, if they're hungry, they ought to be able to eat corn. Can you say amen? Somebody say amen? You know it's true. How many's received mercy this morning? All right, let's stand. I know I was going to get out here early today. I was going to get on over to Brother Mike's and